Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and you have clicked into Double Coverage. We're glad you've chosen to join us today. I'm with Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk Rebels and Bulldogs for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man?
A little under the weather. I guess people can tell that by the sound of my voice. I actually feel fine, but I guess just this changing seasons that we're kind of going through here in mid-November, finally, I guess my body's doing its best to adjust to it.
Well, it's like the seasons change, and then the seasons change back, and the only constant is very little rain. It was nice this week, Logan, one morning to wake up to thunder, and the driveway was wet, but I missed the raindrops. I'd have ran outside into them.
Yeah, it was, got the same thing here in Starkville. Woke up, and ground was wet, and it was I almost had to adjust my eyes. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen that, so. It still wasn't enough. I did see where there's still a burn ban, so it didn't get enough water to actually lift that burn ban. So if you're wanting to start a bonfire anytime soon, I guess you'll have to wait a little while longer.
Well, folks, that is our weather report. We're going to talk sports, but before we get there, I want to remind you about news. Our news podcast, The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, that's coming to you three times a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Be sure to check out Prep Rally every Wednesday for your high school sports needs. That's with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. Brad Locke's in there, too. That's every Wednesday. Prep Rally. And Logan and I are here for you every Thursday with Double Coverage. And let's move right into it, Logan. We got basically two games left this football season. Maybe there's a bowl game for Ole Miss. Mississippi State is not out of bowl contention. If they sweep Arkansas and Ole Miss, then they would be bowl eligible. So still a lot to play for these teams, even though the seasons have been somewhat disappointing. Basketball is underway at both places as well. We'll touch on that. Logan, let's start with you, man. When we left a week ago, obviously Mississippi State had a tall task in front of it at Alabama, but I just did not expect that 51-3 or whatever the final score was. I thought State would get a little bit done on offense, would get in the end zone once or so, but it just didn't happen. How did Alabama get up to 51?
Well, it was a situation where Mississippi State should move the ball okay, but they got behind early, so they just kept trying, instead of kicking field goals or whatever, they kept going for it on fourth and longs, and of course that's not the situations that you want to be in against Alabama. I mean, Alabama got to the point where they could kind of pin their ears back and knew Mississippi State was going to throw the ball. They got the offense off balance, so they got them behind. Or Alabama built a big lead, got Mississippi State in a situation where they needed to throw the ball a lot, and of course Alabama pinned their ears back and came after the quarterback. But Mississippi State only gave up three sacks against Alabama, and that's obviously a lot better than the nine they gave up last year here at home against Alabama. The defense was kind of the issue for Mississippi State more so than the offense. Poor effort for Mississippi State defensively against Alabama. That kind of has been the story for a lot of the season. Just Mississippi State's been struggling on defense, especially in the secondary. Jalen Hurts had a field day connecting with Ardarius Stewart. That was kind of a big 1-2 connection in that ball game that really just put Mississippi State behind and early. I mean, it's 30-0 at halftime of that ball game. And, I was kind of like you, Parrish. I was expecting Alabama to win pretty handily, but not really a 51-3 type of game. But, that's kind of what it turned into. Arkansas has kind of been up and down all over the place, kind of like Mississippi State has. I mean, you really can't tell what team's going to take the field from week to week. Arkansas played great 1 week and terrible the next. And, that's kind of what I've seen from Mississippi State at some times this year. So I think playing in Starkville does give them an advantage. And, but at the same time, Austin Allen has thrown the ball really well. And Jeremy Sprinkle, the tight end from Arkansas, really hurt Mississippi State a year ago. He had three touchdown catches, and Hunter Henry had a big game. Obviously, Hunter Henry's moved on to the NFL, but Jeremy Sprinkle's still around. Austin Allen's back, and there's really not a whole lot of drop-off between Brandon Allen, his older brother, and Austin Allen, the younger quarterback. So Mississippi State's going to have to get after him, create some pressure that can allow him to throw the ball all over the place. And if they can limit Arkansas's offense, I think Mississippi State has just enough offense to win that game this weekend. But we'll have to see how things go. They're going to have to take care of the football, and that's something they didn't do against Texas A&M. They turned the ball over twice. They threw two interceptions into the end zone, and they just can't give away touchdowns. When you get down there to the red zone, you got to put up 7 points, and you can't set off a field goal because right now Mississippi State's field goal kicker is really, really erratic. I think he's missed 5 out of his last 7 attempts. So they need to rely on that offense and Nick Fitzgerald to put up some touchdowns.
Well, there is not a lot of drop-off between Brandon Allen and Austin Allen, but when I covered Ole Miss and Fayetteville several weeks ago, I was surprised at how little Arkansas threw to Jeremy Sprinkle in that game. Maybe that's changed. Hey, shifting gears a little bit, Texas A&M, as it was for Mississippi State, was a big shot in the arm for Ole Miss as well. The Rebels with the comeback win, 29-28 in College Station over the weekend, and the news of the day was Shea Patterson, the freshman quarterback, the number one quarterback in the recruiting class of 2016. Hugh Freeze pulling the red shirt, Patterson making his first start and coming through with 338 passing yards, a couple of touchdowns, and one interception, but really just showing his mobility, Logan, his ability to scramble and keep plays alive. And it's not fair to me. It's not fair for me to say that there was no drop-off at quarterback. I think you don't subtract Chad Kelly from that offense and not feel it. But Shea Patterson's performance really put at ease a lot of Ole Miss fans. I think there was a lot of folks who just kind of expected that. Well, you know, I knew what Shea Patterson's recruiting coverage was like, and I knew what his rankings and stars and all that were like. And I've seen players like that come to college and be a bust as well. So while I thought Patterson was capable of going into that game and doing exactly what he did, I thought it was unfair to expect that of him on the front end against a defense that typically puts a lot of pressure on the passer. And at a place like Kyle Field with 105,000 people and just a very raucous atmosphere and environment on the road. But he really got stronger as the game went on, Logan. You could see him, you know, a couple of early passes just kind of off the mark. But as the sweat started rolling off his brow and everybody loosened up a little bit, he got more comfortable. And Hugh Freeze told us on Monday that they really only ran 4 plays the entire second half. Well, that sounds like complete dominance, but the fact of the matter is that in this day and age, four plays when you're running a lot of run-pass option stuff can basically multiply into 12 plays, you know, depending on what the read is on a certain play. But it was a fantastic debut for Shea Patterson. What was most impressive really was how he was able to extend plays. In his first touchdown pass, it didn't come until the fourth quarter, but it was a play in which he rolled to his right, saw the pressure in front of him, saw the defender there. He was about to get sacked or run out of bounds, and he reversed his field, ran back across to the middle of the field, moving left, and found Demarié Stringfellow wide open in the end zone for a touchdown. That play drew a lot of comparisons to Johnny Manziel. I don't think the quickness is there to compare him to Johnny Manziel. I think Manziel was quicker, but if you wanted to compare him to Archie Manning, I think if you're an Ole Miss fan from that era, I think that's what I think Shea Patterson looked like when I see the Archie highlights.
I saw that play that you're talking about, Perry, and it reminded me a lot of Johnny Manziel. I think simply because of the form. You know, he kind of carried the ball up, you know, kind of sort of sort of like a loaf of bread, sort of just kind of toting it around in his hand. And, you know, he extended the play. He's running for his life and, you know, just reverse field and, you know, had a receiver wide open, just made a play out of nothing. And that was what, you know, Johnny Manziel did so well, is just extending the plays and kind of creating on his own, kind of improvising. And, you know, that's something to be said. I mean, that's something you can't account for as a defense, is plays like that. And, yeah, obviously when you have a playmaker like that at quarterback, it keeps things alive for your offense. And that's what helped Ole Miss come back and win that ballgame.
Well, he ran more than he needed to, or I think they wanted him to in the first game. But that's kind of the state of Ole Miss's offensive line right now. I mean, they were trying to hold Robert Conyers and Sean Rawlings out of that game, but they couldn't do it because Javon Patterson, who has played guard almost all his career, you know, was having trouble with some erratic snaps early in the game, so they move him back to guard. They bring in Conyers off the bench. Conyers goes till, you know, a point in the fourth quarter when he gets hurt. And then Rawlings, who they also wanted to hold out, he comes into the game. So they use three centers in the game. You know, they've got a lot of inexperience up there right now, and whoever's quarterback is going to need to run a lot, and Shea Patterson was able to do that. That being said, the Rebels were able to run the ball. Akeem Judd had his second consecutive 100-yard game. That helped Shea Patterson as well. That offensive line, though, is just, you know, there are a lot of injuries, a lot of inexperience there right now. So that's an area of concern for these last two games. But with all the attention on Shea Patterson and his debut and his very successful first game, Ole Miss doesn't win that game if they don't finally get an improved defensive performance. They gave up 28 points, only 7 after halftime, but they held Texas A&M, the number 3 rushing team in the conference, number 19 in the country, to 169 yards. It's only the third time this season that Ole Miss has held an opponent to below 200 yards rushing. Now, you have to mention here that Trevor Knight, the A&M starting quarterback, was not in the game. He did not play, and he is a running quarterback. He's a big part of those rushing numbers. But they also have Travion Williams, who is nearing 1,000 yards, and some other very good backs. So for an Ole Miss defense that was really struggling to stop an opponent's rushing game, it was a big emotional lift to be able to do that. They got a key fourth down stop early in the fourth quarter, helped kind of turn the momentum in that game. And it was a good overall performance for Ole Miss defensively, and something they really needed. We'll see if this continues. It's been a trend now of about 6 quarters that we've seen Ole Miss improve against the run. And certainly they need to do that against Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, two teams who run the ball much more than they pass it. In these last two games, 1 win in the last 2, a split in the last 2, will make Ole Miss bowl eligible, and we'll see how that turns out. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage. Remember to look for our news podcast, The Memo, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and our high school sports podcast, Prep Rally, with Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan, also Brad Locke in there as well. That comes to you every Wednesday, and Logan and I will be back at you next week with more Double Coverage. Come join us.